Say amen when you find it. Amen. We will read verse 1 through the 12th verse. Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day, one day, to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, and your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. So Lord God, we are so grateful for your presence. We are so grateful, Lord, for your word. Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, that your word breaks in. And so, Lord, this morning, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, God. Lord, we pray that you would open us to hear, that you would open us to receive. We pray, Lord, that we would see you, Jesus, high and lifted in this word. And Lord, I pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, you're our strength, you are our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen, amen. Amen. There is this recurring dream that I have from time to time, and it's a dream of a house. And it's my house. It's not the house I live in today, but it's my house in the dream, and I live in it. But there is a door that I have never opened, and there are rooms within this house that I have never accessed. Each time I have this dream, I'm always surprised and puzzled. In the dream, it's obvious that there are people living in those rooms. But in my dream, no one is present. There are indications that I know the people who live there, but I'm not in relationship with them. The rooms look messy and disorganized, like they need a good cleaning. My sleeping self in the dream asked questions about how life could be going on right under my roof, and yet I've not been a part of it. I questioned why I never thought to open the door. Upon waking, the dream stays with me, and I often wonder if when I have those dreams, if God is trying to speak to me and trying to tell me about something that is missing, something that God is trying to invite me, prepare me, open me to a new way of living and a new way of being. In this morning's text, God's people, we find God's people as a liberated people. They are people who have returned from exile. They are people who have come home to Jerusalem. A Jerusalem that's been devastated by war and the center of their communal life, the temple, their temple has been destroyed. They are a people trying to rebuild their life and their community from the shambles it has become. They have returned home to Jerusalem, and they have returned home to God. See, they are a people who've been brought to the end of themselves, and at the end of themselves, they've turned back to God. They are a worshiping people. A people who desire to draw near to God. They are people who are faithful in their religious practices. They seek God. They delight to know God's ways. These are folk for whom worship is an inspiration and worship is a refuge. These are church folk I'm talking about this morning. They are so church that they are so into church that they will run you over to try to get into church. Their delight is in drawing near to God. But there is this deep sense that there is something off. They are confused. They are perplexed. They may even be annoyed. They've been doing church. They've been fasting and praying, and yet God has not come near. They are in the house, but it seems like God is not. Oh, so they inquire of the prophet. They ask of God's spokesperson, they ask the question, why do we fast? But God, you do not see. And why do we humble ourselves? Why do we afflict our soul in this way? But God, you do not notice. The Bible says that if you seek God, you will find God. But not necessarily in the way in which you expect, huh? See, the trouble with asking a prophet the question of what's wrong with God is that that prophet will take God's word and make it boomerang back on you and tell you what's wrong with you. Be careful what you want to ask a prophet about God. I read a quote that said that any religion which implies that a person's devoutness merits God's gratitude is poisonous. You see, in Israel, there were these national days of fasting. On tomorrow, we will celebrate the life and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We will pause to consider how far we have come as a nation, and we will also talk about how much further we have to go. For Israel, these national days of fasting meant a time where they would cease from labor, that they would be at rest, and they would communally turn to God. And in fasting and in being religious, these worshipers had deluded themselves into thinking that they are righteous and that they are right with God. The prophet responds to them and says, "Is your way of being religious acceptable to God?" The prophet is challenging their motivation. They have made this day of fasting a class affair. See, it's for employers only. The poor and the uneducated, they weren't given the opportunity to participate. God's word to them is that they fast for a day, and they fast because they want something from God for themselves and for no one else. And religion and God have been reduced to a commodity. And there is always a tension in worship When we look at our motivation and why do we come into this place and what is it we seek for God, from God, and the danger is that when we stop at worship as an event, we miss out that God is not looking for just a Sunday morning worship experience. God is looking for a lifestyle. Worship of God and worship for God and in God, it is a way of life. It can't be reduced to one day out of the week. See, we want God in the house, not just in this building. We want God in the house, and God desires to be in the house, but all the doors must remain open. This is a word, and it is a word to the community, Israel, and I believe this is a word to the church. Not just Park Avenue, but yes, to Park Avenue, but to the church universal. This is a word also where we can find ourselves in it. The principles work personally, but I believe God has a word for us as a worshiping community. See, because what we most want from God is that which God promises. And yet, it is ironic that we access these promises only as we are willing to be the promise of God for others. The irony of our Christian faith is that true social biblical justice exists only as grace received and grace given. The grace God gives, the grace we long for, the grace of light and healing and vindication, the grace of thirst quenched, the grace of lives redeemed, lives restored, lives resurrected. It only happens when we live as vessels of grace. It only works when we are receptacles taking in God's grace and pouring God's grace back out. Only when we live our lives as broken bread and poured out wine. We experience the promises of God as we ourselves are light and healers and peacemakers and bridge builders. And we ourselves, did you know that you're called to be water and you're called to be bread? We are built up only as we work to build up people who have been torn down. How ironic. Worship is the door that brings God near to us, and the door that brings God near to us is the door that opens us to living with grace received and grace shared. This is the definition of true justice. God desires justice for all. God's justice is not just us. Justice presupposes God's intention for people to be in community. Justice is about strengthening those who are poor and those who are weak with respect to the rest of the community. It's not just the community in these walls. Justice is about helping to move people back to a place where they can be a part of, where they can live with and live beside. Justice restores people to community. Justice happens as those lacking power and privilege and resources are strengthened so that we all can be at the table, not under the table, not eating crumbs from the table, not in some closed off room, shut off in squalor, but with full access to the house, in the garden, in the boiler room, in the boardroom, at the table. That's justice. We want light. And the church is called to be light, but that light, it's only manifested as we open the doors of our heart and shine our light into dark places. You know, I was thinking this in December, you know, a lot of my neighbors left their Christmas lights on in the daytime, but you know, it's really hard to see lights in the daytime. You need a little bit of darkness. Light shines best in darkness. And I was thinking about this story. Christine Kane, this preacher, was telling a story about her little girl. And they were in Walmart in Australia. There's a Walmart there. And she was telling a story about how her little girl loves flashlights. And so she bought her a flashlight. And she's at the checkout counter. And the little girl just keeps flashing the light. And she can't see the light. And so she tugs at her mom and she says, "Mommy, mommy, let's go find some darkness. Let's go find some darkness." I believe that that's what God's vision is for us as a church, that, oh, we find the light and God is near and God is in this place. But God is saying, Cynthia, Park Avenue, Church of God, go and find some darkness, because God's vision for the world is best lived out in the church. Dr. King said that our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter. Where are we too silent? Show me a church that has gone silent in their neighborhood. Show me a church that is living behind closed doors with a focus on just us, and you will see a church that is on a slow journey to death. We see it all throughout this country. I am so excited and I am encouraged that last year as Park Avenue, we've had a mission, and we've been clear that our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But we've been kind of fuzzy about our vision, but I am so excited that all through this past summer that we came together as a leadership team and we started asking some hard questions and we started tweaking, and we have right now a draft of a vision. See, because the word says that people perish for the lack of vision. But I am so grateful that even as we have not finalized the vision, the component that sets my heart afire is that we have decided that we will have the courage to place, not just by words, but to say that we are committed to being instruments of transformation in our urban neighborhood. See, it's about putting a stake in the ground to say, this is where God would have us to be. And here's the truth of the matter. Because if we tell ourselves the truth, we as a church, we have become complacent. We have become a church that's been resting on our past and telling ourselves that we're in the neighborhood. And last summer when we went and knocked on doors, the neighbors were like, "Well, we've been waiting for you to come and come out. We've been waiting for you. Oh, it's so nice to see you. We didn't know you were there. Who are you again?" And so, see, the truth of the matter is that there have been too many closed doors and too many rooms that we've not accessed. See, the door that leads out beyond these walls, really, if we tell ourselves the truth, it's been closed. But the open door, we started opening the door even through the summer, parking the neighborhood, and it started leading us out of the building and into the community. And as we've been going out, we're starting to, don't you just feel better? Don't you just feel better? There's more vibrancy and there's more energy and there's more joy. And in 2015, we're committed to continue to go out and to go out. And here's the nuance, that in the neighborhood, with the neighborhood, beside the neighborhood, not for and to, because too often, you know, we say we want to go out and give people what they haven't even asked for. We want to go and be with and be beside, because our health and our restoration, our future is deeply intertwined with the central Powderhorn neighborhood. God knew what God was doing when God placed us here. And when we build fences around ourselves, we don't just cut off people. We close ourselves in. Dr. King said that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. The divide between rich and poor, they have ramifications for us all. The massacre in Nigeria, it affects us. There are people sitting right here in this congregation, Wally, heartbroken people sitting right here, and tears, y'all, tears spill over. The particles of tears, they infiltrate the atmosphere, and they touch you, and they touch me, even if we can't see them. See, this is what I want us to remember. This word, you know, God's word works me over. Let me just tell you the truth. It has convicted me and it's just pulled me apart. But here's the thing that God reminded me, that the very things we pray for must be the things we work for. We must work to make it so that everyone experiences this. This is God's will and it's God's intention. And when we live justly, we see and we experience God in the midst of us. Jesus said that, and the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the imprisoned, we are serving Christ." And when we serve Christ, when we do it in Jesus' name, we see Christ. This word this morning, this word, it's not a word of condemnation. It's a word of inspiration. It is a word of worship. Worship and prayer and fasting, the spiritual disciplines, they point us back to God. God wants us to be pointed back. And when we are pointed back to God, we are inspired to rise and stand up in God. God is faithful to speak to us when we come seeking God. When we meet God in worship, we are corrected and we are affirmed and we are encouraged. Our spiritual practices, they clear our vision. And as we lean into God, all the things that we think are important, they begin to fall away. All lesser things fall away. And we see, Amanda talked about God's will, and we begin to see God's will, that God's will is God that who is with us and for us and not just us. And when we do that, in Jesus' name, as we do that, the scripture says then, you hear that refrain in the poem, then, everything changes. This is a word of promise. It's a word of promise for a glorious future. And it's a word of hope for a radical change. Anybody in here want to be radically changed this morning? I want to be changed, y'all. I want to be part of a church that is impacting the world. I want to be, when they walk, when they drive on Portland, they say, oh, there's something different in the atmosphere. Park Avenue has spilled over. Oh, I see those church folk. They're out there walking with the car, and they're in the coffee shops. Oh, what is it about this neighborhood? There's something. It's not just a light hanging up on a building. It's a light that is lived out. It's a light that's willing to go. Oh, in the places that we always thought we were too comfortable to step into. Oh, when I see this, I hear God saying, let us open our doors and live our life. Live this community life. What would it look like for us to live our life as a congregation, as a song flung up to heaven? Living full out, arms open. And as we do this, everything changes. And it's not if, but it's as. Not if we do it, but as we do it, we see God and we experience the fulfillment of God's promises, not just for us. As we break the chains of injustice, as we free the oppressed, as we forgive, as we share with the hungry and the homeless and the unclothed, and as we are present for our own family, see, it even includes our own, then the lights will be turned on. And our lives turned around. Then righteousness will pave the way and God's glory will secure our passage. As we receive God's grace and give God's grace, then we will hear God answer and say, here I am. As we give ourselves to the down and out, and then we will see our lives glowing in the dark. And our shadows in the sunlight. As we open our doors and open our hearts, we will see full life in the emptiest of places. We will be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. God will use the rubble of who we used to be to build anew. God will rebuild the foundation out of who we used to be. God, we'll be known as the people who can fix anything. You wanted to call God's people. We'll be the ones that they say that will restore the old ruins and rebuild and renovate. And we will make this community livable again, not just for us, but for all, by the light of God's justice, grace received and grace given. Amen. 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 Amen.